Yes, you're Swedish, so you would get this.
Well, he has the axe.
Right, yeah, and it is Jabberjaw, or something like that, or whatever it is. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know. It's not Jabberjaw.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon shark, Hanna-Barbera.
It starts right now. That's the way I was before. But I can't recall all those days anymore.
Issues. Session three. Welcome to the couch.
This is where it gets sexual.
This is where it gets very sexual. And I'm still continuing with this awful motif. Anyways.
We're in for a penny, in for a pound.
So, well, in this topic, I wanted to talk about because I started reading Jason Aaron's run on Thor.
It's recently. Three trades, right?
Huh? Three trades so far, and the fourth one's not
out. Are you getting this from the library? Or
yeah, from my library.
Okay.
My library finally started getting funded, and they are getting a lot of new books. So
your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, I voted for it, so I hope so. And it's paying off, which is nice. They've started getting a lot of, like, not too much of the independent stuff unless it's really big. Like, I think they get Walking Dead, which I stopped reading, I think, after or trade four, just because I'm just like,
There's... If you do a search for them on YouTube, a guy will read them to you.
Okay, that'll work too. is it you, Bruce?
No. It's like he puts up every panel for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Is it like under certain limitations that he can do it in and doesn't get in trouble for it or something?
No. They bust him and he just re-uploads them under another account.
Nice.
I mean, that's where I've been reading most of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, the last issue I read was the one where they're at the prison and it's what's the main character's name? I completely blanked out because it's been so long since I watched.
Still at the prison?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's like 30 issues ago? 40?
Way longer than that because, well, maybe when they, by the time they leave, but it was the part where he's talking about how they're all infected. Yeah. It's just waiting for them to die. We are the Walking Dead. You know, that's the final issue that I read, so.
Wow, jeez, man.
And, you know, I haven't gotten to the governor or anything like that.
Governor's a great villain.
I know.
Easy to hate.
And he's not the guy. He's not the same guy that was like gave him sanctuary in like the early issues too. Okay, because that's when I first saw that. I'm like, maybe that's who that is.
The black guy.
Yeah, isn't the governor a black guy too? Yeah. Oh,
the governor's like a long haired, mustached. He's a villain. He looks like a villain. Like his first introduction, you're like, okay, that's a bad guy.
Right. Well, anyways, the
you're talking about Morgan. Morgan was a guy that gave him sanctuary.
I got you.
His son.
Yeah. So my library started getting a bunch of stuff. So I started reading up like the Justice League stuff to like Trinity War and everything, which some of it's okay. Some of it has really good artwork from like Doug Monkey and stuff like that.
I read the first Justice League trade, the war.
Yeah.
And then watched the animated.
Yeah.
Movie. Awful.
The animated?
Yeah.
Yeah, the animated.
Well, and I didn't like the comic either.
Justin really liked that too. You know, that's really kind of interesting. Yeah, the Jim Lee stuff. I don't like the way Jim Lee draws Darkseid is the other thing.
No.
Darkseid should look like literally a figment of Mount Rushmore walking out at you. Yeah. He's so chiseled, you know what I mean? From like, it looks like stone. And I don't like the new design of Darkseid.
The characters all got together. They were all awkward and kind of jerks to each other.
I think they make Hal Jordan really seem like a dick, too.
Well, not just a dick, but like an uneducated dick. Like,
right.
But kind of clueless
right.
moments, especially in the cartoon. He just comes across like a buffoon.
Yeah, he's way worse in the cartoon than he is in the book. Like,
To me, the characters were unlikable. Darkseid really didn't seem to be that much of a threat. It's like, hey, I'm here on the street. You're going to fight me.
He was pretty relentless, though. But he was almost not Darkseid-esque. He was almost Doomsday-esque.
Yeah.
But anyways.
But I go back to like my problem with the Avengers movie. The world just seemed small. Like, New York was like three city blocks.
Yeah, bridge. The overpass.
The overpass. In Justice League, it's like, here I am.
And they're fighting on that, like, the bank of, like, the
that's it.
Yeah.
That's the world.
Yep. That's everything.
Where does Darkseid take over the world? He starts in this, a park in Metropolis.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yep. Seriously.
No, I get, no, you got good point.
Yeah.
I
want some sort of grandiose type of, we just talked about it, in couple minutes ago. Profit.
Right.
They're going planet to planet.
Right. Or you look at like the way Grant Morrison handled them in Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
I mean, just like grandscaping things, a lot of global takeover.
And you can't tell me that Jim Lee couldn't have drawn the shit out of an armada of giant ships over Metropolis.
Yeah, I know, right?
But instead, it's like, here's a boom tube, I'm going to walk out, standing here on a grassy knoll. It's the way JFK did it.
Why are you Robert Downey Jr.? I know. Anyways, so completely sidetracked. So one of the things I had just watched, I rewatched the first Thor movie, and I kind of like it more every time I watch it.
Because it's a romantic comedy.
Kinda. But it's just
Tom Hanks could have been Thor in that movie, and everyone would have been like, all right.
But then I watched the second one, Dark World.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it a lot.
The funny thing is, both times I've watched that movie, haven't had access to the subtitles, so I have no idea what the bad guys are talking about.
So Malekith is just always like,
yeah, and I'm like, this saying this something. Is
just no Klingon, and I think it'll be good. So, really, I really dug Dark World a lot. Just
that movie upped the ante. The first movie, it's like, okay, this small town in Mexico. Oh no, they're going to get wiped out.
Right. It was kind of lackadaisical, and it was very introductory.
I think that goes back to exactly my problem with the Justice League. Oh no, Darkseid's going to take over this city.
New Mexico!
Yeah, the first Thor movie is like, they're going to take out this village. Oh no, those poor Mexican people.
Right.
You know? But in the second movie, it's like, here's the world.
Yep. We're fighting in D.C. We're fighting everywhere. We're going planet to planet to planet to planet.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's like, wow. Those are really high stakes.
Yeah. It was and I thought Chris Eccleston did a great job as Malekith and everything.
I wish he would have spoken English.
More. I know, right? There wasn't a part that he... I thought there was
a part... There was. I said it just more.
Oh, right. More he would have spoken more. I thought the relationship building between Loki and Thor was way better, too.
Yeah. That's...
What?
Loki steals movies.
Yes, he does. Yeah, Tom Huddleston, right? Yeah, Tom Huddleston. It's
Tom, I think.
Yeah. But the part where he's keeps transforming himself.
When where he's walking, Captain America?
Oh, Jesus. Hilarious. I cried. My wife literally made me pause the movie because she was laughing so hard. She's like, I don't know what they're saying. Stop.
Crichton got excited.
That's funny.
He's like, it's Captain America. And I'm like, nah.
He's like, I feel real. So... I like, feel the charisma.
Yep.
So with really digging Thor, and I'm also on the... Eric Larson, Jack Kirby page. So they're always posting Thor pictures from Jack Kirby up there. I'm like, I want to read a good Thor thing. And I've heard a lot of good stuff about Jason Aaron's Thor. And
how long ago was his run?
He's still doing it.
Oh.
He's still... I'm pretty sure so, because I think what I read up to is issue 18, and I think they're working on like 27 or 28.
He took over after Fraction?
No, they rebooted it. They gave it a new numbering or whatever after Fraction left. Or maybe, I think somebody even else did it a little bit after Fraction.
Is it just called Thor? It's not the Mighty Thor?
No, it's Thor the God of Thunder is the name of this
one. Oh, okay. And that's the run?
Or yeah,
that's
the arc? That's the run. I'm
going to make me a note.
The first trade is called The God Butcher. The second trade is called God Bomb, and then the third one is the Accuser. So the first two go hand in hand with each other, and it's so cool to see because they take Thor from three different ages of his life where he's being affected by the same situation. So it's Thor before he's the God of Thunder. He's still the God of Thunder, but he does not have the hammer. Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Yes, you're Swedish, so you would get this.
Well, he has the axe.
Right, yeah, and it's Jabberjorn or something like that or whatever. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know how to say it. It's not Jabberjaw.
Yeah.
That's a cartoon show from Hanna-Barbera.
But it's this very young Thor, and he's very exudes confidence, overconfident. You know what I mean? He goes in, he kills whatever he needs to, comes out. Beer, food, women. He just does whatever he wants to.
He's going in the bar.
Exactly. Then... And aside, Rubik's? Yeah, his artwork in it is beautiful. Beautiful, too.
So it's a painted comic.
Yes.
Painted comics still make me uncomfortable.
It's striking. It's not... I don't know
how to explain. They often look stiff.
This does not. I don't know why, but it doesn't. But then it... so it starts off, and he sees something floating in the water, and the water's all red. And he picks up, and it's just a head... And they're like, who's that from? And he's like, it's a god, not from this area too, because they recognize that there's every civilization kind of has their own gods. So like the Indians have their own gods, and Greeks have their own gods, and they all exist on Earth, essentially. But something has killed this god. And like, it's just like, there was like a look of horror that was petrified in the god's eyes or whatever. And then it cuts to present day Thor, who is very just strong and, you know, very, you know, the Thor that most people know, not overly confident.
A little wiser.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also the Thor of the future, where Thor is essentially Odin at this point in time, and he's the only god that's left. And it's about this god butcher who goes and goes around and just from solar system to solar system just literally chops up gods. He has a huge despising nature for gods. And you read the whole first trade, and it's just like seeing how all these mix together. Why is this affecting Thor in the future as well as the past and in the present and everything? And why does he hate these gods, essentially? You know, what was his name? I keep calling him God Butcher, but he has an actual name and I can't think of what it is. But then the second trade, you get the whole background of like where he came from, why he like essentially like the gods on his planet abandoned him and he lost everything, like his entire family and everything like that. And then gods crash land on his planet that were battling each other. And he's like, you exist the entire time. My tribe has been dying. We prayed for you every day. Everybody said, like, they call me a non-believer because I said you guys didn't exist and you've just been sitting up there. That's it. And he steals like this power. And it's almost like a shadow power or something like that, that can like just kill whatever god he wants to. And he just goes on this murdering spree. And so he has collected a bunch of gods and traveled to the future where old Thor is, essentially, and they're building a bomb that's going to go back to the beginning of time and destroy the original god, so there's no gods left. Whoa. I'm like, it's very epic, very grandiose, you know, exciting stuff. I love it. It was great. And then the third book is all about dealing with Malekith, ironically enough, going back to the movie. So I'm like, oh, hey, I know who this character is, you know. Gore the God Butcher. That was the name of it. So what a great name, you know, Gore the God Butcher. And it's all about Malekith arising from hell, you know, like H-E-L, like the Norse think about it. Yeah. And
also Kryptonians, apparently.
Yes. That's H-apostrophe-E-L, H-E-L or something like that. And it's all about a group of like the nine realms going together to go after Malekith, who's just murdering his own people, and he keeps trying to get away from them and everything. Yeah. And it's very Lord of the Rings esque, you know, where like these groups get together to fight him and everything. And
they're hunting him.
Yeah, exactly. But they're being hunted at the same time by him. And you like, there's like a traitor amongst them, and you have to figure out who it is. So. And then there's a really funny twist ending at the end too, like that almost makes you go, shit, like that did not, like that, I mean, just great stuff. I think it's easily one of the best.
So is Thor not featured prominently in Thor, the second and third?
No, Thor is constantly featured in it too. I'm just going on over what everything else. It's all about, the first two is all about Thor starts working together with his older self, or his older and his younger self too, which is interesting to see how they all like interact with each other. He's like, oh, you were such an ass. I forgot how much I hated you, you know? And then, and Gore, the way he relates to each one of them, because he's had separate interactions with each one of them too, where he was like the young Thor, he's like, oh, you're my favorite, 'cause you're the one who started it all. You know, you're the one who made me go berserk, and just things like that. And then the interactions with Malekith and the dark elves and everything is really cool. So I can't stress enough how fun the comic is to actually read.
Three trades up to issue 18.
Up to issue.
Still going.
And I don't know what the next arc is yet.
Same artist?
No, they do switch up artists on the third one, but Asad Rubik does, I think, most of the 12 issues. He has a fill in for one issue, which is actually, it's Butch Geis, which is a good fill in.
I like Butch Geis.
But the coloring stays pretty similar.
I was going to say, I mean, he's not a painter.
I don't know if Asad Rubik's doing the painting, though, too. I'm not sure. I have to look back at that now. I can't remember. But the third one's completely different. It's not. But now I know the current arc that they're doing right now, Asad Rubik came back to do, and it's mostly featuring older Thor now too, and everything. The final days of Asgard or whatever. So cool stuff.
Older Thor had two eyes.
Nope, he's missing one. Very very Odin-esque, you know. So it's pretty cool. I think we're probably good then, unless you have anything else. I know you have bad experiences with Thor.
Yeah, I've only ever read bad Thor books, apparently.
Because you missed Walt Simonson's run in the 80s, because you started in the later 80s, and then you stopped before Dan Jurgens took over after the dreaded Heroes Reborn universe. Jesus.
And I mean, I would sample Thor every now and then here and there, because I want to like Thor. I mean, it's sci-fi.
Right.
But
it's sci-fi and fantasy at the same time. It's such a cool...
I'm much more of a sci-fi than fantasy.
Right. But it's like fantasy mixed, but yet sci-fi. Right. You know what I mean? And that's what's really cool about Jason Aaron's run, is he knows how to play... Like, you're on this world, and you're like, man, this is very fantasy. And then they do something completely science fiction-esque, where just because of the aliens that pop up or whatever, you're like, okay, well, this grounded it a little bit more in an odd way, you know? So he does a good job.
You gotta straddle that line.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't sound like it's tying too much back into the Marvel Universe.
No, it doesn't. That's one of the best things. Like, that's what's been great about that book, is, like, you don't have to read Avengers and say, hey, why does Thor got that scar on his cheek now or something?
And it's not like Wonder Man's popping up and
asking
him, hey, Thor, could you come to my nephew's birthday party or anything?
I think Tony Stark shows up at one issue, and that might be about it. It's pretty cool. I like that they keep it very self-contained.
Yeah.
The Marvel books that are working really well, Hawkeye, you know, things like that. What keeps them going? Very self-contained. Yeah. They don't have to. You don't have to worry about
Like I feel about another book we haven't talked about yet, Young Avengers. They seem to be picking and choosing.
Right.
Outside of their own personal continuity.
Right.
What to use here and there. And I think that's the best way to do it.
Right.
If something benefits you, talk about it. If it doesn't, ignore it.
Yeah, it's like, why? You don't have to say, well, there's those red skies from the Crisis that I still have to wear.
Yeah.
Crisis did what it needed to do, essentially, to what they wanted to compact everything. Unfortunately, Crisis also, and Marv Wolfman acknowledges this, is that it set a standard for what you do. You don't have to tie everything in. Nobody cares that Ant-Man's trying to punch out Hulk during World War Hulk. You know, like, nobody cares. Just tell the story we do. And if you are in the middle of a story, don't interrupt yourself and lose any kind of ground you had just because they're doing whatever the most recent Marvel crossover is. Because they do
Axis.
Every...
Axis will be the next one.
No, but what's the one? Original Sin. You don't have to show... Oh, what's that? Oh, it's the Watcher's Blood. They're still trying to figure that shit out. Like, you don't have to throw that into the book. Don't show that. They can put the character in there, and it's like he was never there, you know? So, but that's... I think that's what works also.
I think publishers are learning from the trade and saying, okay, if people are only going to read this 6 issue...
Right.
We can't have an editor's note saying, oh, you can follow it in this or follow it in that.
Right. And that goes back to Stan Lee in Marvel.
The editor's notes?
Yeah, because he was the one who said, oh, if you want to know why Namor is like this, see Iron Man, because that's...
That was also back when comics were like 50 cents.
Right, well, yeah, then 70s. And that should have probably died in the 80s after Crisis, probably. Yeah. I think we are just about there for our... Episode 3 here. Session 3. Sorry.
Lost it.
And I'm not going to keep up with Season 1 or anything this time around, so...
Yeah, we might.
But Bruce and I are going to be hard at work and also trying to work on our comments, so...
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff ahead of us, and hopefully we got some good stuff here before long, so... until the next time, I'm glad I got to just ramble on about how much I love Thor, apparently, right now.
His brand new love.
In his gold locks.
Hopefully it keeps up for you.
Me too.
And I will also.
Until next time.
Until then.